Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Olivia Martinez, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Oscar and Emily Martinez. And today we're on episode 8 of our Coen Brothers series, where we'll be talking about Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is one of the first Coen Brothers movies I ever saw, and it is one of their best. It's a classic, it's a kind of a modern classic, especially because of the soundtrack and the performances and just everything about it is pretty good.
And I don't know this for sure, but I kind of think it's one of those movies that obviously it got a lot of attention because it was a Coen Brothers movie and it has some big stars in it. But I think it got more popular as it went along. You know, I mean, I think that people, when they saw it a second time or word of mouth or whatever, really got people into the theater to see it and probably was popular on cable, etc.
Yeah, I could believe that for sure.
Well, as we pointed out before, music is such an important part of their movies, and this one takes it to the highest limit possible. And it's one of those things that the music itself made it popular. And I think it's because it's set in 1937, rural Mississippi, the South, during the Great Depression. There's a lot of blues elements, a lot of country songs, a lot of bluegrass songs, a lot of gospel songs, a lot of things that originated in the South. And it was just interesting that that hit so well. I mean, that was really strong. And in fact, it was such a popular soundtrack that it won every award. It won all the Grammys. But the group, the people who sang the songs, they actually formed and started touring. The voices, most of those voices, they were not George Clooney, even though he's related to Rosemary Clooney, he's not a singer. He's the main star. And the other two guys were not singers either. But
really,
that's pretty
was
amazing.
Tim Blake Nelson not singing?
He does. He sings that song in the jailhouse now. That's actually him singing, okay. But the rest of them were ad-libbed dubbed.
And this film stars George Clooney, John Turturro, and like we said, Tim Blake Nelson. And this is a pretty unique movie because it's based on the Odyssey, which is one of the oldest stories ever. And it
shout out to Homer.
Yeah, shout out Homer, who may not have existed. But yeah, it's just based on the Odyssey, which all of us have had to read in school. It's a very familiar story. And how they do it is they set it during the Great Depression, and it follows three runaway fugitives. They love fugitives. The Coen brothers love fugitives.
They do.
And what's so great about these fugitives, though, is since it was during the Depression era, they're wearing the stripes. Like, it's so obvious they're escaped jailbirds. And then you come to find out very, very quickly that these three guys are not friends at all. They were just chained to each other at a certain time, and George Clooney was kind of the ringleader of all of it. So it's just, it's a ridiculous set of people, and they go through some ridiculous things, and they meet a lot of famous people throughout history, which I think is really cool. And thank gosh I have y'all, because I probably wouldn't have caught on to some of them. But yeah.
What you were saying, that's a good point, because someone's always running from something in these films, you know, and their films. And in this case, literally, they're running from the law. But the reason he's running, George Clooney especially, is he needs to go back to his wife because he loves her so much.
Although he's told his two comrades or whatever, two buddies, that they're looking for this treasure.
Yeah.
So everybody's in on trying to find this treasure. But ultimately, yeah, he really wants to just get back to his wife, which again is an allusion to the Odyssey, mm-hmm. where Ulysses is trying to get back to Penelope.
But I mean, it doesn't come out until an hour-ish in that he even has kids. That's a really funny scene. You just see these cute little girls performing on stage, and he's like going up to the stage, and you're like, what does he want with them? And then they're like, Daddy! And then it turns out he has seven daughters, and he sees his wife, who's played by Holly Hunter, who was also in Raising Arizona. So she's a recurring character, not a recurring character, but a recurring person in Coen Brothers films, and she has a new little baby girl, and George Clooney's like, where did this one come from? And she's like, well, you would have known if you weren't in prison. And they're just like back to just fighting like an old married couple. But she has a new fiance who is a lot more, what is the word, bona fide?
More bona fide.
Yeah, that's something that the girls kept saying to him. They're like, Daddy, you're not bona fide enough. But they really, mostly this movie follows the three main men, and they go through all these ridiculous adventures. And what was the first adventure they encountered? Who was the person?
Well, the one on the hand cart on the rails.
Yes.
That was based on Chiresias, who was the seer, who was blind, of course.
The blind man.
Mythological. Explaining exactly what was going to happen to them, what they were going to see. They're going to see amazing things they never would have seen before. A cow on top of a roof. I think the guy's crazy, but sure enough, they see everything that he points out, you know, and mm-hmm. they will gain something, but they're also going to lose something, you know.
And the entire film, they're being kind of followed by these scary posse and these bloodhound doggies, the bloodhound doggy, and this really intimidating looking sheriff guy who's wearing these really dark glasses. He looks kind of evil and scary. And we find out very quickly from another character who we meet, Robert Johnson, who is the famous, is his name Robert Johnson in the film?
It's Tommy Johnson.
Tommy Johnson, but it's based on Robert Johnson, who is supposedly the best guitarist of all time, who sold his soul to the devil. And he tells the guys, oh yeah, I sold my soul to the devil. And then he describes the devil, and it's what the sheriff looks like. So that's kind of the mystical element of this film. I mean, a lot of it is mystical. Obviously, it's based on the Odyssey. But that especially kind of, just the recurring image of this devil-like character is really interesting.
Yeah, and I like how that Tommy Johnson character just says it real matter-of-factly. Hey, what were you doing out here in the middle of nowhere? Oh, yeah, I saw the crossroads. I met the devils. I sold my soul so he could teach me how to play guitar.
And I actually forgot how much he's involved in the film. I mean, he's with them a lot of the movie. They have to save him at one point. They record the song I'm a Man of Constant Sorrow with him. He's there. They perform with him. He's in a lot of this movie, and he does a great job. He's played by Chris Thomas King, who I think he has to be a musician in real life. Yeah, he is. Because, I mean, how he was strumming that guitar, that was not fake. And it's such a shame that George Clooney wasn't actually the voice behind his character, because it was just such a good voice. But he did a really good job lip-syncing. And his character, I don't think George Clooney's ever looked better, in my opinion. I'm not, like, in love with George Clooney. I'm not one of those people at all, probably because I'm not a 45-year-old housewife. But I think that he looks really good in this movie. And maybe Dapper Dan has something to do with it, perhaps.
Yeah, he loves his Dapper Dan.
And he's just such an appealing character. He's a con man. I mean, you can tell from the start again, he's not a violent criminal. He's just a big talker and very handsome, but also just kind of real positive and a leader of men in his own silly way.
And he's also clearly educated because he just knows a lot. He has a lot of literary references.
Right.
And the two guys who are kind of they're not his sidekicks, but George is always kind of in charge, and they're always like, man, we don't care about what you're talking about, because he just will say these obscure references that no one knows what he's talking about. It's pretty funny.
And his name is Ulysses Everett McGill. That's his full name. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely the Ulysses in this character. And like the Ulysses from mythology, I mean, they go through all these adventures. And you mentioned all the famous people. You mentioned Robert Johnson. There's also Babyface Nelson.
Oh,
he was
man.
Public enemy number one after they killed Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd back in the day. And
he was
comes
a real
up.
He was a real
he was
person.
A real person. Yeah. He was a real person. They crossed paths with him, and then there's these
he's an insane bank robber, by the way.
He has a machine gun and he'll just shoot indiscriminately. And he hates the name Babyface. Don't let him hear you call him that.
And there's a point where he says, the only thing I hate more than cops are cows. And then he just starts shooting the cows, which is so sad because I hate animal cruelty, but it's kind of funny because it's just so insane. And the three guys with him who are, again, escaped jailbirds are like, who is this? They like think he's insane because none of them are really violent criminals. You can tell.
He's on a whole nother level. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So favorite scenes?
I mean, we can talk about favorite scenes. We don't normally do this, but there are some really, really iconic scenes in this film. So yeah, go ahead.
My favorite is when they're baptizing all those people.
I went down the river to pray.
It's so good. It's so moving.
That's the case where the music plays such a big role.
Yeah. And then one of them gets saved, Tim Blake Nelson. Or mm-hmm. John Turturro gets saved, too.
They don't
share that one. But what's funny is, you know, it's interesting that we've talked about the other Coen Brothers films, they really don't have that many special effects. But in this one, there was a huge special effect. Did you read up on that?
I didn't really.
When they had to digitally reprocess every frame of film to make it look more sepia toned. And you've mentioned this a few times.
I did mention that.
Yeah, because it when they filmed it in Mississippi and South Carolina or at places like that in the South, it was in the middle of summer. Everything is green. And that wouldn't have looked what the feel. They wanted it to look like an old postcard.
It looked like an old photograph, yeah. They did a good job. Because even though at times I didn't love how it looked, just the coloring wise, it did look like an old photograph. And
yes.
It is very unique and distinct.
Yeah,
so.
As opposed to just being in black and white or just in color. It had that kind of haze to it. And it was back in 2000. So they kind of, it was one of the first completely digitally remastered before it ever was ever released.
Pretty clever.
And I think my favorite scene was just when they're in the recording studio, recording Man of Constant Sorrow.
So good.
And it's just, and again, that's an example where George Clooney does do a great job lip syncing. I mean, there's no way in the world you don't think he's singing, and just really hams it up. And that's something that I think that George Clooney should have been at least nominated for Best Actor for this, because he's
his
so,
best role.
Yeah, he's so versatile, different than what he normally is. And he's so willing to make fun of himself and look like a fool. And yet, again, still charming.
Such a good scene. It's such a good song. It's so catchy. Every time I watch this movie, I'm just like, I am a man. Like, I can't stop singing that for a few weeks. I think my favorite scene... Well, I have a lot, but I think the whole sirens part, because not only are those girls, I mean, it's wonderful, like how they portray the sirens, and it's very clever. But then the aftermath of the sirens situation, think John Turturro turned into a toad. The first time I saw it, I thought he turned into a toad because I hadn't read the Odyssey yet. So I was like, oh, is this a part of it? Like, are they trying to be clever? And it is just so funny, the whole toad situation.
They really believe that poor guy is now a toad. Their friend's a toad.
And someone who we haven't talked about yet who's in this movie, John Goodman, he makes a cameo in this film and plays a Bible salesman who has an eye patch. And he represents, Dad, you're the one who researched this.
Oh, right, the Cyclops, the giant one-eyed beast from Ulysses.
And he is so evil in this and so mean.
We've talked before about the themes and some of the inside jokes. Well, in some ways, this film, the title itself, do you remember this, Em, from, you know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was from the Preston Sturges movie, Sullivan's Travels. In that movie, there's a movie maker who wants to make a movie about the Great Depression, and he's going to call it Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I forgot.
And it's going to be this drama. And this guy was known for comedies. And very successful comedies, but he wanted to be taken seriously.
The character in the
character
Sturges
in the film.
Movie, yeah.
So it's a movie he didn't really make, so they made it for him. And
that's a great movie too, Sullivan's Travels.
Yeah, and that scene where they're in the theater watching a film, and the inmates come in because it's movie night.
Yes.
That's directly from that movie, Sullivan's Travels. Remember, yes. He's actually watching a movie with these inmates. So that was a nice homage.
We definitely recommend that movie. Yeah.
And actually, another really funny scene is the movie theater scene, because this is at the point where they think that Pete has turned into a toad. So Ulysses, Everett, and Delmar have decided to go see a movie. First of all, how did they afford that? They don't have any money because they haven't found the fake treasure yet, which, spoiler alert, George Clooney, who is, again, Everett, he tells the guys, oh yeah, by the way, the treasure isn't real, I just need to get to my wife, which, liar. Anyway, they go see this movie, and then of course the inmates have to go see the movie too, and they find out that Pete is not a toad, and he was just caught, he's back in prison, and he just keeps telling them, don't seek the treasure.
Do not. That's all he says. Do not seek the treasure.
And Delmar keep saying, we thought you were a toad.
And he's like, what? And then it's
miscommunication again, a Coen Brothers staple.
That's it really is. And yeah, the end of this film is pretty rewarding too. It ends kind of with a performance of them. They have to wear these ridiculous beards to sneak in, and
also the performance of the guy who plays Pappy.
Yeah, Charles Durning, great character.
Yeah,
actor.
He's
That's
great.
Hilarious.
He plays the governor, and he's got a sorry son as his campaign man. Or not, his sorry son is on this campaign, and the campaign manager is actually the fiance of Holly Hunter. It's all these, you know, these
intertwined.
Intertwined plots.
He does do a great job. Very Veep vibes, I feel like.
Yeah, very, very cynical, very, you know, anything for a vote. And
what was that one line? The reform.
Oh, yeah. The son, he says, you got any ideas? And the son says, well, Dad, Daddy, you know, people seem to like that reform. Maybe you could campaign on that. He says, you idiot, I'm the incumbent. I can't be a reform candidate against myself. Well, they're reforming against.
So but good. The other, his rival has a, he's for the little guy. And so he has somebody
man,
on stage,
a little
small
person,
man, little
with
person
a little
on
broom,
stage.
They're going to sweep all the... Gonna clear the swamp, right?
Literally so ridiculous. I'm sure that happens.
I'm sure.
That
well,
sounds very believable.
And again, we've talked about it before, but the themes they cover, like one of them, for instance, Raising Arizona, the kidnapping of a child normally is not a minefield. I mean, it is a minefield. It's not really a comedy theme. In this one, they mention the Klan, the KKK comes out. But they handle it the way you should. You got to laugh at people because it's just one of those things. You wouldn't think that would have a place in a comedy, but the way they handle it is pretty well done.
Because the whole thing is so disgusting, but it is also ridiculous. Like what, and that's the point the Coen brothers are making. They make it like, yeah, I mean, these people don't want to be made fun of or laughed at. So what do? You should laugh at them because exactly. They're ridiculous and evil and whatever. And yeah, you find out a few characters that we've seen throughout the movie are actually part of the clan, and things go very, very south once we figure that out.
And speaking of the South, obviously this takes place in the South, and the characters are very, kind of stereotypes, definitely, and don't come across as terribly intelligent. But I, as a Southerner, I'm not offended by it because I really think it's the sort of thing where I think Southerners are expect to laugh along with it. I mean, I think it's so over the top that I don't think anybody really thinks that everybody in the South talks like that or acts like that. It's just, it provides such a kind of a rich background to the story, and it allows for the music, and it's just I can see that being a criticism, that it is such a stereotype of the Southerner, but I just don't think it's done with any kind of venom.
And also, I mean, it's during the Great Depression, which is a long time ago, so obviously no one's like that anymore. So yeah, I agree, it wasn't done with ill intent or anything like that. Do we have any final points before ratings?
Just one fun fact that when, you know, all these guys and gals who were in the film, but apparently the only person who'd read The Odyssey was Tim Blake Nelson, who has a degree in classics from Brown University. Now, if you saw Tim Blake Nelson in this role,
he comes across as the dopiest,
southernest, just really not very bright. And to think that he's got a degree in classics from Brown.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so. I'm sure they were coming to him for like questions all the time. I mean, obviously the Coen brothers had read the book too.
No, they hadn't.
Are you serious?
It was one of his favorite themes, but he never actually read it. Even he realized.
Did he read it as they were writing the screenplay?
I don't think so. Too busy directing the film.
That is insanity, but we should check that. And honestly, Joel, Ethan, if y'all want to come on the podcast and let us know yourselves, feel free to. Let's get to ratings because we don't want this to get too long. How many, I would say toads. Is that good enough?
That's a good one.
How many toads would we give this movie?
I'll go first. I'll give it a 5 out of 5. And this is another good point that we've kind of made in some of the other ones, but I'll want to make it very directly here. I didn't like this film the first time I saw it. And
which is crazy.
And now it's like in my close to my top 10 of all time. Each time I see it, I appreciate it more. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and appreciate what it takes to make a movie and thinking about, these actors who are so good at what they do. It was just a perfect combination of people and timing and the music. Everything just clicked with this one. So each time I've seen it, probably the third or fourth time we've seen this, I just love this movie now. So it's 5 out of 5 toads.
And I think I might give it a 5 out of 5 too, because when you think about the idea that it's a comedy, and it's as a comedy, it should be funny. Well, it's really funny. It's well acted, well directed, and it also has something to think about. I mean, it kind of is making some subtle points about politics and about family relationships and things like that. So it's not just a mindless laugh. And it keeps you entertained and yet also makes you think a little bit. And the music is unmatched.
Agree with that. I think maybe, I know I'm not allowed to do this, but maybe 4.75. I don't know. Maybe it would be 5 next time, depending on my mood. I really love this movie. I can't really find anything wrong with it, so maybe a 5. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired. This is episode 8 of our Coen Brothers series, and we have 10 more to go, which is fine. We love these movies. This is a great, great movie. Follow us on Instagram at Strange Love of Media. Visit our website, strangeloveofmovies.com. And we hope that we have inspired you to go listen to the soundtrack. If not, see Oh Brother, Where Art Thou again, because it is such a classic. Any final words?
Do not seek the treasure.
That was a good impression. Bye.